Here we go.
Jake and Josh are here to analyze the game they love for the team they love.
This is another Dolphins podcast.
Here's your host, Jake Mendel and Josh Houts.
Both Josh and I fell into a very tough situation. I marched through the entire show Fallout on Amazon. A little gruesome, but if that's your type of thing, I highly suggest you watching it because, oh boy, Josh, I got to the second round here after taking a defensive player, and I'm like, it's time, right? We're going to draft some offensive line, and we're going to bolster this unit. Pop my head out to the surface, and there's nothing. Patrick Paul went 41. Frazier went 39. JPJ went 33. I was just kind of sitting there like, okie dokie, what do we do here? What is happening? So, Josh, you kind of see the board. I don't want to say fall apart, but it felt like I got punched in the plant. Punched in the face, and my entire plan was gone.
Yeah, I mean, same here. And you said punched in the plant. I thought you meant just punch. Like, has it, yeah, I mean, because you did. I mean, we all regretted, right? I was getting ready to maybe even start over because your brain's telling you the Dolphins need an offensive lineman. You know, you hear Kat talking about Marius Mims, you're just thinking, damn, that's perfect there. So, yeah, I was sitting here in no man's land. Do you want me to say who I ended up going with? Because I'm going to be honest, man. I saw you tweet yours out, and I didn't want to piggyback you. So I tried to go a different direction. And, you know, again, I regret going this direction, I believe. But it's someone I think could come in and make an impact. Wide receiver Ricky Pearsall from Florida. I think he's a slot receiver. Caught 65, 87 balls last year, 963 touchdowns. That would be amazing, right? 963 touchdowns, 963 yards, and 4 touchdowns. And I think what's funny, I mean, this guy's out there. You already see him working out, right, with Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill and things like that. So I think he'd come right in. He'd fill that slot void that we need. I still think we might need that big body target like you might talk about. But Ricky Pearsall was sitting there, and I thought, you know what, this guy is made for this offense. He can come right in and play. So that's the direction I went. But again, we were both regretting not taking an offensive lineman earlier in this draft or using that one trade up we had, right? I mean, we just stood put like goofballs, and we ended up not – well, I got an offensive lineman, but I'm not very happy with it.
So, Josh, yeah, I like what you had there with Latu and Pearsall. And, you know, Latu, somebody who had, you know, 13 sacks last year and – you know, 21 tackles for loss, and Pearsall 4.41 speed can work in the slot too. And you're not paying him a bunch of money either.
The only thing, Josh, he was on my board too. I just wanted something. It was weird because something about taking a slot receiver in the second round, something they haven't done since Jarvis Landry is already making my point against me. But I went Jatavion Sanders just because I think we had the same mindset here. A pass catching option. Sanders, he's someone who averaged 15 yards per carry per reception last year. On top of that, 276 snaps at inline tight end, 432 snaps as a receiver. I figure give him the Butch Berry treatment. Let him have a shot at him. See if he can develop him into a blocker. Looking at this Miami Dolphins offense, and I might have fell far too far down this hole, but I look at how often the Dolphins targeted their wide receiver 3, and they were among teams like the Rams and the 49ers who never targeted that position, that third wide receiver. But they did target the tight end. They did target the running backs. You got McCaffrey, you got Kittle. So that's kind of where my thought process started going. But as I kind of reflect on that, I see a team that's kind of trying to chase an image where if you're getting that tight end, if you're trying to produce that Rams or 49ers offense, you're already a step behind. I'm kind of open to the idea of having McDaniel get another speedster and say, all right, how can you break it one step further instead of doing what's already been successful? How can you be the guy that everyone's trying to copy again? We remember back the Tyreek Hill in motion from the tight end position. We saw everyone kind of jump on that. So instead of taking Jatavion Sanders, who I saw a mock draft where Miami picked him in the first round and I wanted to crawl over and die. That's how upset that made me. The Dolphins have never selected a first-round tight end, and it won't happen this year unless it's Brock Bowers. But I think I fell into my own trap here of trying to just follow everyone's lead. The Dolphins need that tight end of the future. But overall, Josh, I think you might have convinced me. I think I'd rather lean in that Purcell camp as of now, we'll say.
You wonder what the Dolphins are thinking, though, right? I mean, I think we've heard rumblings that you saw Mike McDaniel, big smile on his face at Texas Pro Day. Everyone's talking about it being Worthy or A.D. Mitchell, but it could have been Sanders all along. So I think the biggest fear, I guess, and a lot of people, I guess, say that he can't really block. So it makes you wonder if he's that next evolution of Mike Gesicki. But we want that big body target, right? Bringing Sanders to this offense could do similar things, you know, in a way that you know, Pearsall was, I guess the thing that we got to continue to ask ourselves is how many more targets are there going to be to spread around, right? We know how much he loves Tyreek Hill. We know how much he loves Jalen Waddle. I mean, we all want that third target, but how much are they going to be utilized? So, yeah, man, Sanders, Pearsall, I think that's that next step in that offense. But, again, we still need that offensive lineman. But what'd you do, Kat? What are your thoughts on Sanders? And then tell us your pick.
Yeah, so Jatavion Sanders has a lot of pros and a lot of cons. The pros are that he didn't drop a pass this past year. And, you know, somebody who is also, you know, believe is only 20 years old, so has a bright, bright future. And gotten better as a blocker from you. On the other side, as far as the fit with the Dolphins, I look at the signing of Janu Smith and wonder if there's too much overlap between one another, because he's not a blocker. And are you drafting somebody here in the second round who is going to be the fourth or fifth option in your offense? That would be my only complaint with him. But he is a talented guy. And also, you know, a lot of people expected him to blow up the combine. He didn't. He ran a 4.7. He didn't run a 4.5. He didn't test out athletically well in a lot of areas. And tight end tends to be a position that takes a while for a raw player to develop into. So I'd probably pass on Sanders at 55, even though I do like the talent.
I kind of fell into a trap too, where I look at all the tight ends taken last year. Well, you had Kincaid in the first, and then Laporta in the second, Mayer in the second, Musgrave in the second. I just kind of think that there's a might have been a little bit of a turning point with how tight ends are used in the NFL, where it's not all of a sudden, like, I think we were even saying when Mike Gesicki was taken in the second round of 2018, it's like, yeah, he might do some things his rookie year, but try to settle down. It's one of those positions you need a couple of years to develop. Maybe that's starting to turn a corner, but I completely see that argument. And it's super hard not to disagree with it. I think this is a scenario where if I had another mock draft, I would have done something different. And Kat, I think that's where you topped us both here, where you threw a punch here and you mixed up the draft order a little bit.
Well, so when you take a look at what Chris Greer has done in the last several drafts, I mean, really two historical examples of Chris Greer trading up in a situation like this is back in 2016, the Dolphins knew they were going to have comp picks for the following year. So they traded future picks, got a third rounder. So they got an extra, you know, pick in the third round. They took Leonte Carew, not the best, you know, pick at the time, but, and then in 2021, they traded from 55 up to 41, are in the 50s to the 40s to get Liam Eichenberg. Not the best selection at the time either, but they traded a future third rounder. So that's where this gets, that's where I took here in the second round, traded up from the 50s to the 40s, gave up next year's third rounder to take West Virginia center Zach Frazier. And to me, this is as close to Creed Humphrey as you can get, where he's a short area wrestler, 6'3", 314 pounds. And now you've got Amarius Mims and Zach Frazier, along with Aaron Brewer and Austin Jackson as your future of this offensive line. Because otherwise, we may be sitting here in a year saying Austin Jackson and Aaron Brewer are by far, in a best case scenario, the only two above average players on this offensive line. So, If you get Mims and you get Frazier in here, I'm willing to sacrifice next year's third round pick to be able to do that.
I'm hard not to gush over that. I mean, I'm just sitting here just, you know, like in awe, right? I mean, we like our drafts. I'm happy with what I did, but we want that offensive line. We know how important that meat and potatoes are. So I have no problem giving up a third next season. You know, if we're going up there and getting a guy that he's and some other scouts are, you know, comparing to Creed Humphrey, because let's be honest. I mean, Dolphins Twitter, you know, we're all over the place a little bit, but Creed Humphrey, that was a unanimous decision that a lot of Dolphin fans wanted and would have changed that offensive line. So, I love your two picks, Kat, and love that we're fixing the offensive line for now and the long term.
And the issue compared to like our picks, Josh, is like both of us with the receiver, tight end, we're already squinting like, all right, well, this is their path to play. Like, how are they going to do this? When you're drafting two offensive linemen, you know right away it's you're going to step in. We're going to find a spot for you. Especially, I mean, just looking at how many different offensive line combinations the Dolphins had right here, it kind of feels like such a great way to rebuild the roster. Kat, how do you feel when you see that stretch from 55? Well, you moved up, but how do you feel when you see that stretch all the way to about a pick 150 without having any picks? Do you feel you've accomplished your mission drafting two offensive linemen there?
You know, I wonder what the Dolphins are thinking as far as, and this may have been their strategy, where it's like, we like signing Jordan Poirier at safety. We like Kendall Fuller cornerback. We're not going to find those type of players in the draft. We're not going to find a center as athletic as Aaron Brewer in the draft. You know, and we're going to find wide receivers somewhere else along the way. But as far as getting two future offensive linemen, that's where we need to do that in the first two rounds of the NFL draft. I hope that's their strategy when it comes to this. But, you know, at the end of the day, I want them to take the two best players on the board.
Let's go through the rest of our picks here. Kat, with your trade, you didn't include any of your, you still have four selections for the draft, right? This year?
Yeah.
Cool. So, all right, we're jumping all the way down to 158. I got really desperate because I haven't selected any offensive linemen yet. I know that's a super huge key for the Miami Dolphins. I jumped Missouri, Javon Foster, the tackle. That was my pick. Kat, I wanted to ask you, Zach Zeter, he didn't really feel like too much of a scheme fit for this team. Am I wrong thinking that? Or because that's kind of what pushed me in this direction.
No, you're definitely not wrong. He was a projected second, third round pick at right guard, but got hurt very late in the year. Mm-hmm. He should be okay to go next year, but there should be some recovery. But he is built very tall and built stiff. So you're not crazy in thinking that. If the Dolphins are looking for more of a flexible
I think I just called it who Josh
lineman.
Picks.
Yeah, so
I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's okay. It was after I took him, I started actually reading up on him, and it's like he's not very athletic, and I'm like, oh, well, you just F the pooch here. But yeah, I got desperate. I saw he was a team captain. I know he played at Michigan, started 12 games at right guard last year. Like Kat said, broke his tibia and fibula, but was part of the best offensive line. So I just saw a guy that you could just throw out there and hope that, you know, could maybe play guard. But once I realized he wasn't very athletic and couldn't move well, I definitely regretted that one. So thank you, Jake. Thank you. Yes, I'm fired now. I'm out. They just fired me.
I'll say for any Mel Kiper fans, though, Mel Kiper had Zach Zeter as a top 25 overall prospect as recent as November. So you're not talking about somebody who just, you know, this is a battle-tested, really good offensive lineman. Mm-hmm. For Michigan. I mean, this guy's no joke. So fifth round, not only do I have zero problem with him, but I would like that pick too. The only reason I didn't take Zach Zeter, despite not a great, you know, scheme fit in this, is because I've already taken two offensive linemen in my mind.